Again in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. We spent several weeks looking at the Sabbath and what the Sabbath has for us. And we are reminded in Isaiah 58 that the place of our heart as we come before the Lord in the Sabbath day is to be one of delight. We'll look at verse 9 through 14. Isaiah chapter 58, beginning at verse 9. Hear God's word. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. We have in these few verses this reminder that we have spoken of, that we are called to call the Sabbath a delight. That the Sabbath day is something that is to be enjoyable for the people of God, something of a feast day or a holiday. You know, as Christians, we have this privilege of having this weekly holiday where we can come and lay aside the burdens of this life and enjoy the things of God and the people of God together. And I think that one of the things that we struggle with as Reformed Christians when thinking about the Sabbath day or the Lord's day is that we almost immediately go to the question of do's and don'ts. What are we not allowed to do? What are the things we are supposed to avoid? And we go there. And a lot of our confessional material, because of a historical context, is written in that way. Here's a whole bunch of stuff you should avoid on the Sabbath day. But I want you to think of other holidays that your families may enjoy. Your families may enjoy Christmas, or you may enjoy Easter, or the 4th of July, or whatever those holidays are that your family enjoys. As you prepare for those days and as you prepare for those holidays, you're not asking yourself, "What should I avoid on this day?" You're asking yourself, "What do I need to do to prepare to enjoy this day the way that our family enjoys the day. And some of you are going to have traditions and customs and things that you do that you prepare for the day, and then as the day comes, you work out the day, and you come to the end of the day, and you may be exhausted, but before you turn off the light, you may say something to the effect of, "That day was great. That day was a delight." And I would encourage you to think about the Lord's Day in a similar fashion. That you would think about what it means to come before God and to have not only the responsibility of keeping the Lord's Day, but the privilege of keeping the Lord's Day. I entitled the sermon Sabbath Privileges rather than Sabbath Commands. You know, I think that, again, we think in those ways. We're commanded to do this and we're commanded to do that. But when we remember back on what we've said about the foundation of the Christian Sabbath, the foundation of the Christian Sabbath is rooted in creation and redemption. And when we look at this day, we should come to it, as the prophet Isaiah says, and say, "We are delighted to come into this day. I have this great privilege before God to be in worship and to be with the people of God and to think through the things of God all the day long." When we think of the Sabbath and the way that the Lord's Day is described, we must begin with thinking about the foundation, the privilege of the foundation. The Sabbath begins with a positive command, which is 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. This is God giving us that cycle of privilege of what it means to be made in His image. God is a creative God, isn't He? He is a God that creates, and then He rested for us to see. So the Word of God calls us to labor as a reflection of God's labor. And then as lawful labor is done, we take note that there are recreations, things that are able to be done, and then we come to the Sabbath day and we have the mindset that you are free. You are free to rest. You are free to put the labors aside. You are free to not answer your work emails. Some of you aren't free to do that, but most of you are free to do that. And as we think about this structure, this positive structure of the command, we need to reflect that in our minds and maybe even change our mindset as we speak about the Sabbath or speak about the Lord's Day. You know, there may be some that would say, "Well, my pastor told me I'm not allowed to work on Sunday." Put that in a positive, and it's that your pastor or the scriptures or the catechism or your church, however you want to frame that, says that you are free to rest from your job on that day. It is a beautiful thing, isn't it? The way that we think about things is a reflection of how we will feel about things. And I want you to think through that passage that we read from Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, the people of God are coming into the Sabbath, the Old Testament Sabbath, and it's this drudgery on their souls. It just makes them feel as though they've come in and the doors of life are closed and they're in bondage for a whole day. And God says, you're looking at this wrong. You're looking at this as something that is a burden to your soul, when in reality, you should receive this as a delight, as a freedom for your soul. You are free from being forced to labor in things that are lawful other days of the week. You are free from these things. Free to rest. You are free from the guilt of over-participation in this life. And that's where we are as a society. A society of over-participation. No one works 40-hour work weeks anymore. You all are working at all times. And you know that is true. And whether it's school programs or any of extracurricular activities or sporting events or community events, we know that all of these things overwhelmingly can control our lives, and for many of your family and friends and neighbors do control their lives. And you are free. You are free to delight in the Lord, free to hear the Word of God, free to enjoy fellowship, free to spend time in mercy and other aspects of life. We're told that we are to delight in our Sabbath keeping. We are to stop doing our own things and call the Sabbath a delight. This is where many in the church today struggle. Many struggle to find delight in the things of God. People rushing into church filled with all of the anxieties of what they must do as soon as church is over. And they rush off to those things and things that take attention, whether it's gatherings or NFL games or other aspects of the day. The Sabbath is called the Lord's Day, and it is a day that is called a delight. So we have a day to spend with Him. And as we have this day to spend with the Lord, we know that there are things that are necessary, things that we are able to do. We have the privilege of doing that which is necessary as well as that which is merciful. Mercy is that which are works not chiefly for financial gain, but works that are done out of sympathy or compassion, either to alleviate human suffering or to help the sick or to help the imprisoned or to care for the poor or to care for the needy. These are appropriate things that we can do on the Sabbath day. We can think of reasons why the Sabbath has been given to man, and we know that we're in part given the Sabbath because of redemption and freedom from sinful bondage. And one of the ways that Jesus Christ loved to show His calling as the one who frees humanity from suffering is by doing works of mercy, by delighting to have hands and feet attached to redemption, saying, here are demonstrations of what the gospel will do for you. Isaiah talks about it all through the book, visiting the poor, visiting those who are in chains, breaking the bonds of the prisoner. These are things that are appropriate on the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is given to show men and women the joys and beauties of redemption. I remember when I was in seminary in Grand Rapids, and I was asked to speak in a jail ministry that was going on there. The Free Reformed Church is a church that has this really great jail ministry in Grand Rapids. Actually, it was started by Bob Bibby, that many of you know. when he lived there and was a member of that church, and that jail ministry continues even today. And as I was asked to do that, I remember talking in my congregation about this jail ministry, and this one older member of the church said that he thinks it's fine that young men go and preach in the jails, but why does it need to be done on the Lord's Day? And he was really adamant that this was not the appropriate time to go and preach in the jails. There's other days you can do this. And I was shocked, because it's an act of mercy that the Scriptures tell us that we can do. And it's something where we can go and we can proclaim to the captives that salvation has come. It is a most appropriate group for doing mercy. And we're able to fill our day with these things: public worship, as we've mentioned, and fellowship and ministry. And I know there are some here that do these things, whether visiting shut-ins or coming and helping those who are in need, or even those that are in distress. There are many in the congregation that are struggling and distressed and mourning, and there's been even today outpourings of love upon those people. Those are totally appropriate privileges that you and I have on the Lord's Day. 6 days, most of us don't have the ability, or most of you don't have the ability, to tell your employer, I need to go visit so-and-so because she had a difficult week. But on the Lord's Day, you're free. And you are privileged to bring mercy and to do those things that are necessary. But besides necessity and mercy, we can think of worship as well. Worship is our great and high privilege on the Lord's Day. The church is called to be a people of worship. And the great privilege of the church of Jesus Christ is that God has given us this day where, in a sense, if we're looking at the world from this cosmos perspective, we have, from this big perspective, we have all of the world stopping from its labors. And hour by hour, as those crazy time zones happen, the people of God burst forth into worship. And the earth turns, and the people of God burst forth into worship. And the earth turns, and the people of God burst forth into worship. And if we could see that from this perspective out here and just watch worship occur as the Lord's Day happens from week to week, we would know that it's something special, that it's something beautiful, and it's a great privilege to be a part of that. It's a great privilege to gather here in this place, to lift up the name of God, and to have the angels watching down on us with curiosity as those that are the image bearers, bringing praise to the one who has redeemed us. Again, this is not something, I mean, we can spin it as you are commanded to be here. You are commanded to be in worship. And it's true, but you are privileged. And I am privileged to be able to be in the presence of God, attending upon worship 2 times each Lord's Day, these called meetings of the church. And again, this is something that's gone on from the beginning of time, as the church gathers in worship on the Lord's Day for singing of the Psalms, and for preaching, and for hearing the Word of God read, and for prayer. And think, for much of human history, as humanity gathered on the Lord's Day, it would be the only time during the week for many that they would hear the word of God read. Because they're not reading, they don't own books, and they're coming and they're hearing the word of God. What a great privilege it is to hear the word of God. And our responsibility as Christians is to lovingly encourage one another and to show people the greatness of that. You can think of Andrew in the Gospels. What is Andrew doing all through the Gospels? If you follow Andrew through the Gospels, what he's always doing is he's saying, come and meet Jesus Christ. Come and have opportunity to speak with Jesus. We found the Messiah. Come and see who he is. And friends, you have that privilege to tell your friends and your loved ones and even other members of the church that we have this great privilege on the Sabbath day to say, come and see Jesus. Come and know him. It is part of our worship, and we should happily attend the worship services of the church and happily sit under the means of grace. You know, I think as Westerners and modern or postmodern Westerners even, we have really constrained ourselves to time. You know, we really don't do well just sitting back and enjoying conversation or sitting back and spending a great deal of time in the presence of others. We're always, you know, we schedule things and, you know, you get 45 minutes and then I get 15 minutes in case you go over, and then the next thing is scheduled. And that's kind of how life works for us. But we have this privilege to just rest in the presence of God and to hear his word and to sing his praise. We come before the King of heaven and earth. This is our great purpose and privilege, to meet with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now imagine with me if you, for whatever reason, were invited to Charles III's coronation. That's in May something, first week of May, coming up. And you open your mail tomorrow, and you're cordially invited to Buckingham Palace or Westminster Abbey or wherever they do these things. And you're asked to come and sit through the coronation of King Charles III. If you go and you answer that call to go before King Charles III and to be a part of that coronation, you wouldn't rush that. You wouldn't say, well, I thought this would be 40 minutes. I thought this would be shorter. I have other things to do. I've got emails to catch up on. The lawn is not mowed. We would enjoy that, whether we, you know, like King Charles III or not. We're Americans, right? But we would enjoy that privilege and honor of being before the King. And the Lord's Day is that special day where Jesus Christ says, I am coming to meet with my people. And I'm coming to meet with my people. And we are privileged to sit and to enjoy the presence of God. We often treat the Lord's Day like the Lord's hour or the Lord's hour and a half. But we ought to really delight in what God has given to us. And that day, this day is for worship, for public worship. But for many of you that have busy lives and busy schedules, there are many days of the week when you don't have the ability, because of various schedules within your home, to have family worship. And the Lord's Day gives you opportunity to sit with your family and open the Word of God, or to catch up on your own worship, your own reading of the Word, or other things that you are reading or listening to for the advancement of your soul. You see, I think that if we told, or if we asked most Christians if they would like the opportunity to study the Word of God more deeply, most would say yes. But then if you ask them to sit through to worship services or to use time on the Lord's Day, say, God has given you that time to invest deeply into your soul, many would find other ways to fill that time, not seeing the privilege that it is. It is a day that is to be filled with spiritual benefits and fellowship and mercy. And we are called, in a sense, to clear our schedules for Him. And this brings us lastly to one more aspect of these privileges of the Lord's Day. And this has to do with being fit for the duties of the day. Being fit for the duties of the day means that we live lives where we're preparing for an event. You know, if you are having people over on, you know, in our home often on Sunday, but let's just, for argument's sake, let's say you're having people over on Thursday, there are things you need to do to have people over. If you don't go to the grocery store, you're probably not going to feed the people that are coming over. And there are other things that you will do to prepare for that event. You may have to run your dishwasher or count your silverware to see if you have enough pieces of flatware for those that are coming over. And other things need to be done too. You're probably going to clean your bathroom because you have guests coming into your home. And when we come to this idea of the Lord's Day and knowing that there's this great privilege that we have for the Lord's Day, there are things that we ought to do to prepare ourselves for that great duty, that great honor that we have, which is the Christian Sabbath. You know, sometimes I'll hear people say, and I'm not accusing you of this, but I've heard many people say, you know, Nathan, I'm really struggling with the preaching in my church. I'm struggling to be able to listen to the preaching of the Word. And the first question that I always ask those that that say that is, what are you doing to prepare to hear preaching? You know, if your pastor is preaching through a book of the Bible, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure out what the next passage is that he's probably going to preach on. So you can read and you can prepare, and as that happens, people often will find themselves interacting better with the preaching of the Word. And again, that's just an illustration. We need to think about that in the context of the Lord's Day and the Sabbath day as well. People who struggle and people who often have spiritual lives that are faltering and faltering and faltering, it's often because they don't take the Sabbath day or the Lord's Day and to see the great privilege of mining deeply what God has given to us on that day. And often those that come with a desire to mine, but if not prepared, are unable to mine. In the middle of the 19th century, the population of California skyrocketed. And it skyrocketed because there was gold in them thar hills. And many people from the east made their way out to California with no idea how to mine for gold. And of course, I don't know how to mine for gold either. But if you just show up and you know that there's a river and you're supposed to do something with a pan, you're probably going to be broke very fast. But people flocked, not knowing how to mine for gold. And you know who made the most money of the gold rush in California? Were all the general stores that built up around the places where the gold rush occurred, as they're selling pans and shovels and things to people that have no idea what they're doing. And again, we or you or Christians may have the desire to come to the Lord's Day and say, I just want to eat everything. I want to enjoy this whole spiritual feast that is before me. I want to grow as a Christian. And yet come unprepared. Often the outcome of that is that the Sabbath is not a delight. And we don't find the great privileges that the Sabbath day is for us. The whole day is delighted in when our week, spiritually, materially, and even psychologically, begins to revolve around this day where God says, come, come into my presence. My desire for you is that your Sabbaths would be filled with delight. That you would not see it as a day of drudgery. That you would not see it as something that is a burden where your life is put on hold. But as a day where you are able to delight and to enjoy the rich things that God has given to you. Enjoying the feast that is worship and the feast that is fellowship and the feast that is mercy and all of these beautiful benefits that the Sabbath puts before us. We are called to enjoy this and to delight in this because we are preparing for an eternity of delights, an eternity where we will enjoy the God who is. Congregation, I would call on you to think in terms of privilege as you think about Sabbath delight. Amen. Lord, help us to glorify you in the keeping of this day. Teach us that we may delight ourselves in rich things. Amen. Let's